sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Bon, là, on est à épisode 164. Talking to my therapist about the Kendrick J. Cole beef. Take one. For what's happiness? Come on, no. For what's money without happiness? Or hard times without the people you love? Though I'm sure what's about to happen next, I ask strength from the Lord up above. Cause I've been strong so far, but I can feel my grip loosening. Quick, do something before you lose it for good. Get it back and use it for good. And touch the people how you did like before. I'm tired of living with demons. Cause they always inviting more. Think being broke was better.
Message!
I said, think being broke was better. Now, I don't mean that phrase with no disrespect to all my niggas to all my niggas out there living in debt, cashing minimal checks, turn on TV, see a nigga Rolex, and fantasize about a life with no stress. I mean this shit sincerely. And as a nigga who was once in your shoes, living with nothing to lose, I hope one day you hear me. Always gonna be a bigger house somewhere, but nigga, feel me. Long the people in that motherfucker love you dearly. Always gonna be a whip that's better than the one you got. Always gonna be some clothes that's fresher than the one you rock. Always gonna be a bitch that's badder out there on the tours. But you ain't never gonna be happy till you love yours. Ha ha, all right. Mesdames et messieurs, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com. A.K.A. la Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, before I start the show, I need to give a heads up to you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a, red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question.
Are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Wednesday, April 10th. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, say it with me. Fuck you too. All right. Let's get the show started. The part that I didn't mention that I did say it's like April 10th, and I'm angry at myself for not writing things down in my notes, but doesn't matter. April 10th, and Jesus Christ, 9:51 p.m. Now, that's really, I'm cutting into my beauty sleep here. All right, so I'm going to rush this show. That's not true. I'm not going to rush this show. I'm going to give you quality material, all right? While feeling the anxiety of rushing the show. Okay. New listeners, check it out. Before I continue, I want to help you get familiar with my podcast. Just so you know, I like to break down my episodes into three parts, or I prefer to call them acts. The first act is the introduction. Second act is using random thought. And the third act, the final act, is called final thoughts. No? Clever? No, all right. Okay, in the first act, well, so far in the intro, so far I've played the theme. You've heard the theme. I told you the title of today's episode, recited some poetry, both the poetry and the title will relate to the final thought. And, yeah, after the greetings and give you some advisory, warning you about the kind of podcast you're listening to, then I do some shit like read off some quotes or read off a quote. Well, today's quote is more of a thought, and it goes like this. Nope, that's not it. Sorry, no, that's not it. The thought is, did I really not? Oh, my bad. Oh, my God, lack of preparation. Oh, okay. Today's thought goes, statement, if you will, goes, yes, I'm an introvert. Shout out to Introvert Are Awesomes on Instagram. Okay. Yes, I'm an introvert. No, I am not shy. No, I am not stuck up. No, I am not antisocial. I'm just listening. I'm just observing. I can't stand small talk, but I'll talk about life for hours. I'd rather be home with close friends or two. Oh, excuse me. I'd rather be home with close friends or two than amongst a crowd of acquaintances. Amen. Don't scold me in public. Don't embarrass me in public. Respect that I am reserved. And if I open myself up to you, know that it means you're very special to me. Amen. Amen, brother and sisters. Yeah. Yeah. Next, I should read something about being a highly sensitive person. Oh, right. Okay, just because you're a highly sensitive person doesn't mean you're an introvert. But that's another discussion. But yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay, that's it. All right, okay. Yeah, that's it for the intro. Now let's jump to News and Random Thoughts. And before I do News and Random Thoughts, I separate it with this little sound over here. Okay? Let's go. All right. Okay. Okay, I think every time I say go, I'm going to play this along. Where's that from? You know what? Doesn't matter. This is one of those, if you know, you know. Those who know. And one day, you know, I'll probably be drunk. If you get me out drunk, I'll explain where that comes from. All right. First item on the News and Random Thought. Okay, this one is not necessarily news, but more a thought. And it speaks to what I mean by when I put emphasis on fuck whitey. What I mean by fuck whitey. Who am I talking about? Well, I am talking about white supremacy. Duh. But if I were to get more specific, I will play. I found this clip the caption goes, how to catch a suspected white supremacist. And I found this clip, and this white man, I forget, he's a content creator, I forget his name, and he breaks it down better. He breaks it down for me, all right? So shout out to this dude for saying what he's about to say. So here we go.
Tell me something that white people say to let you know that they're low-key racist.
All lives matter. I don't see color. Doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, yellow, green, or purple. I have three black friends. My best friend is black. My sister married a black guy, and they have two beautiful mixed babies. Mixed? There are two types of black people. He's one of the good ones. You're so well-spoken and articulate. They have BET, all black colleges, and Black History Month. They. It's not the system, it's the culture. Damn rap music and fatherless homes. Race has nothing to do with it. Look at O.J. Simpson and look at Bill Cosby. America can't be racist. We had Barack Obama as president. You need to stop pushing and perpetuating victim mindsets. Here we go, another snowflake white savior. Allies really just hate their own kind. He should have complied. Just don't commit crimes. Name one racist law in 2023. Police brutality, what about the black-on-black crime? Chicago. Black people just need to get off the Democratic plantation. We just need to stop talking about race. It's not racism, it's classism.
But that's who I'm talking about, you know, when I'm saying fuck Whitey, yeah, fuck Whitey. I mean, you might prefer being called racist. Pick your title, right? Either racist, Whitey, agent of white supremacy. But yeah, that's you. That goes to you, all right? From the bottom of my heart. All right. Okay. Yeah, this is what happens when you're a black kid who grows up in a predominantly white city. All right. Before I get into, okay, all right. Now, this one is more into the thought. I feel like sharing this quick story. It's a quick experience that I had, right? This is an old and new experiences. I tell you what, hold on a second. You know what? Let me just go an extra level more. Okay, I'll probably put a quote about new experiences, but I had a moment yesterday. I tried AquaFitness for the first time in, first time in my life, AquaFitness. I know how to swim, don't get me wrong. I've been in the pool, but it's the AquaFitness. And what's amazing about AquaFitness, it's for people, not for people, but it's really, if you got like pain in your joints, you do exercise and you're just nothing but pain, or you feel like like I know no pain, no gain, I get that. But when the pain is like not part of the gain, you know, consider AquaFitness. Shout out to my therapist, by the way, for suggesting that. Anyways, long story short, I remember it was a huge fight. It was ridiculous, man. It was a huge fight with myself to get myself into that pool. Not to that pool, to get myself to that community center with the pool. And I remember, yeah, I had packed my bag. And again, I'm 49. Younger me would have probably been, it would have been easier. But there was a fight between me. There was a fight between version of me who was like, you're an idiot for going. And there's another one who's like, dude, we got to do something. I mean, the other part of me is like, yeah, I don't back down for fights. Fuck that. I told myself I'm going to do this shit. We're fucking going. And the part that didn't want to go, holy shit, was a real asshole. Was like, you're an idiot for going. Like, fuck, don't come bitching to me when I tell you it's not going to work out. Yo, that motherfucker was working overtime. I remember driving there. And this was when I finally got convinced myself to get in the car. And I drove there to get there on time. What's funny is, in the parking lot, there was three white ladies coming out their car and going inside. Now, I don't know these white ladies from anywhere. But it's so funny how the part of my brain that didn't want me to go was like they were talking to each other. One probably noticed me and probably went, achoo. And he said, see that bit? All right. The first one thinks you can't swim. The second one thinks wants you to go back to Africa. And the other one over there thinks, what the fuck are these people doing here? About to call the cops. Then that part that didn't want me to go was like looking for segregated, any signs of racism, any signs of, okay, oh shit, sorry, the segregated pool is at the back. I swear, motherfucker was working overtime. It was so fucked up that I'm usually a friendly guy. I remember just being tense. I was being angry. I was like, I was being hyper-vigilant. I was ready for whatever. Finally, when I get to the front desk, and I'm, you know, now that I think about it, the shit makes me fucking laugh. Now that I think about it, when I finally get to the desk, you know, to tell the state my business while I'm here, and I'm like, yeah, with firm voice, I'm like, again, ready for some racism. I was like, little white teenage girl. I'm like, yes, I'm here for your 7 o'clock AquaFitness class. And that part that didn't want me to go there, she's going to say, yeah, she's going to call you, nigga. She's going to call the cops. The fuck you doing here? She's going, anything. We're looking for anything. And she's like, oh, 7 o'clock? Yeah, sure. just scan here. Bing. Whatever. And okay, I'm laughing at myself, but I felt the need to share this moment. How much that negative side, that negative voice, that chatterbox was like, fuck it with me, man. But I made it through. And here's what the fucked up part about it. Oh, it kind of helped that the instructor was a black dude. Like, all right, see white people, we can't swim. Anyway, it kind of helped that the instructor was a black dude. I mean, you know, to shut that part of my mind that didn't want me to go. And but what really helped the scenario, right, aside from people just being... what really helped the whole thing was that I had fun. That's the important part. I actually had fun. And it was so bad that the part of me that didn't want me to go is now not speaking to me. It's like, it's a, think of the parent who told you, now you're going to fuck up. I'm telling you, don't go over my dead body. And then you do it. Well, you know, now you're not speaking to each other. But anyway, I think where I'm going with this is new experience. I haven't had new experience in a while. It's been a while since I did something that put me out of my comfort zone. It's kind of fucked up, you know. I felt like a prune afterwards, you know, and things like that. But and it was fun, man. Bottom line, you know, I think even funnier, and I might make a bit about this, is I forget that people my age are now looking older. Especially white people. And I say this because I'm used to being a child and seeing an older white person, an old looking white person, and automatically assume that, yeah, I bet they were there when Dr. King got shot. I bet they rejoiced HD. Yeah! They rejoiced with Dr. King. They saw that shit on TV. I forget that the old people are now my age. And they were likely around during the LA, just during the LA riots. And they were like, yo, he should have fucking conformed. He should have, whatever that word is. Okay, all right, bad joke. Whatever. But the whole point of this is new experiences. You know what's funny is, I don't know how your, what do you call it, the chatterbox? Is that what we call it? That negative self-talk? How your negative self-talk talks to you? But mine is fucking racist, man. It's homophobic. It's racist. It's transphobic. It oh wow. You don't, yeah, man. You don't want to know. Like, if there was a competition on who has the ugliest chatterbox, I don't know if I'd win, but I know I'd be like I'd be like, yeah, get on that stage. It's like, he said what to you? Oh my god. But yeah. You know, another thing that helped that I was reminded this because, again, my therapist recommended this thing, and she said that, yo, you need to remember that everyone at that aqua fitness class went through what you went through. Well, more in the sense of shit, that discomfort, because, you know, I may disappoint some of you ladies out there, but I don't look that great in a bathing suit. That was my first thought. Yeah, I'm not... I was self-conscious about my body, all that shit. And then, anyways, doesn't matter. I think I should focus on the fact that all well ends well, that I made it, that I could chuck it down. And I can actually, look, if I decide not to go or go, at least I could say I tried. So, toast to new experiences. And here's hoping for more. All right. Okay, let's, sorry for that sound. I forget. Yeah, all right. I didn't want to rush this. Okay. How long have I been talking now? Okay. Usually I put a timer, but I forget. Okay. I am going to, next item I have is, so on Monday, I don't know which part of Ottawa you were in, but, I meant to play this. Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. On Monday, there was an eclipse. And, shout out to my homegirl, Jay, who persuaded me to, basically we looked at the eclipse. No, not directly at the eclipse. We built ourselves this little, watching YouTube, little girl was teaching us how to make this box, this contraption that allows you to see the eclipse. It's a contraption. You look away from the eclipse, but this little device that you can build yourself using scrap box, an old box of Uncle Ben's, or an old cereal box and some tin foil and you put a pin on it, and allows you to see the sun and the moon covering the sun. So I got to see the eclipse, and that was interesting, right? Oh, right, I guess I should say shout out to those of us who didn't make it to the rapture. Like, in case the rapture happened and only one of us made it up there, well, you know, all right. Shout out to all us sinners. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about is a headline that I saw before the eclipse. And it goes, oh, yeah, I found this on Reddit. It goes, right-wing influencers in Canada. I thought they were Americans. Whatever. Right-wing influencers in Canada are spreading the claim that the eclipse is a hoax. That's right. You heard it, boys and girls. Ladies and gentlemen. There are people out there, motherfuckers out there going, yo, that shit is just some kind of hoax. And some people just love ignorance, man. Hold on. Let's see how long is this clip. Oh, it's not a clip. It's just a picture. Okay, hold on. If it's not long, I'll play the whole thing. What does he say? Basically, the conspiracy mind melt. Please do not attempt. Okay.
Just let the negative be. They're trying to scare you. They're coming at us with all this bullshit all at once. Oh, this big eclipse. You better wear your glasses so you don't go blind. Nobody's ever went blind ever fucking looking at an eclipse.
Word.
Never happened. Show me the proof. Show me the evidence. When the hell have you ever had all these warnings about an eclipse in your entire lifetime? It's never happened, man. Shutting down schools for days on end and bringing in police and National Guard and the idiots in Niagara call a state of emergency. They didn't call that for the eclipse. They called that because they didn't want a big bunch of people over there protesting.
It's an I am definitely staying here till after the eclipse. See what happens on that day. Yeah. What are you guys all doing for the big old special eclipse on Monday?
Yeah, I'm not going to play this whole shit. Whatever, right? My first thought was, fuck them. Like, look, man, if you raised your child... Okay, here's the bar. Chris Rock had this bad joke about... or had this joke about how keeping your daughter off the pole. Nah, man. If you have any kids, like, the objective of a father is to keep my daughter off the pole. Nah. Fuck that. If you have kids, boy or girl, whatever the fuck, you fail if they take people like that. If they're like, well, Dad, hold on a second. Hold on, this dude on YouTube says this whole eclipse shit is a hoax. If that's your child, you fucked up. Holy, drop the Bible. Fuck you. Fuck the Bible. Get your kids to be smart enough to know when not to listen to the person on YouTube. Anyway, all right. Yeah. Okay, no jokes. But yeah, I felt like writing a letter to Justin Trudeau and say, hey, can we ban from our healthcare system any idiot who shows up on Tuesday talking about, I hurt my retina, staring at the eclipse? I'm like, nah, fuck that. Nah, we're not, fuck that. Yeah, don't let my tax dollars go into correcting their vision. Fuck that. If you were stupid enough to, you know what? Yeah. To look at the sun during an eclipse, you don't deserve to be able to see. Fuck that. Okay, you know what? Sure, you can see, but not on my dime. You better talk to Trump about the eyesight, about your eyesight. But yeah. By the way, okay, last point before I go. I'm reading the book, The Three Body Problem, which is what the TV series on Netflix was based on. And it goes a lot deeper. and there's a part about, it's not a spoiler if you see the TV series, but okay, let's just, the idea of getting the general population to be, comment si méfie en anglais, to doubt scientists. Like, just like what happened in COVID, to be like, nah, you know what? Nah, fuck that. I don't think these Poindexters know what the fuck they're talking about. How it would weaken us as a species that they were like, you know, I don't know about these scientists. But who I do trust is these billion-dollar corporations telling me not to trust these scientists. You know, I'm just, and whatever. Okay, that's it. It's a complicated point. All I'm saying is, when I heard about this these right-wing influencers, it had me thinking of the book, the storyline of the three-body problem. All right. Okay. That's it. What else, B? What else do you have on the ducket? Yeah. To be honest with you, I really want to jump to final thoughts. Whew. Sorry, I don't know what that was. Right. Oh, okay. Yes. A lot of these conversations. Okay. So this is the last item for news and random thought. First, I'm going to take the time to plug my last episode. Oh my God. I hate when I do that. Sorry. I used the wrong keyboard here. Yeah. You don't know what I'm talking about. You know, I should go. Okay. All right, so I would like to take the time to plug my last episode, 163, Aging and Self-Acceptance. Now, in final thought, I will be talking about something that happened to me, a conversation I had with my therapist. But in addition to that conversation, there's something she said that had me thinking, that inspired me, that inspired a more specific vision for this podcast, a more specific direction for, like, I've been realizing that I've been way too focused on myself, which is why I'm like timid about putting this material out there. And I realized after the last episode, after I told her about the title, I said the aging is self-acceptance, how, and in the final thoughts of the last episode, I talked about how it was a challenge for me. It was, and also part of the reason why I ended up in therapy, the fact that I was in my late 40s. I think I was 45 when I went to therapy, but I was I was going through all kinds of depression. I was all kinds of shit was depressing me, who I was, everything, right? But one of the factors was, and I used to use this analogy. I was like, I was feeling like life was starting to feel like when you're at a restaurant. And you finished eating. You're done. Right? You're done. And you paid your bill. And all kinds of. And the waiter just keeps passing by. Is no longer serving you water. Basically, they're just like, hey, when the fuck are you leaving? Beat it. What the fuck? You ate. You paid. We're done here. They're just passively aggressively waiting for you to clear the table so they can clean it up and make space for the next customers. Life was feeling like, I was feeling like life was like the waiter going, hey, you're done. What the fuck? Ain't shit for, basically what I'm saying is I was aging without self-acceptance, which is what I was talking about in the last episode. And I mentioned that in the conversation after how I brought up, with, it came up with, about, yes, I talk about my podcast sometimes with my therapist. Yeah, and when I present, and basically say I'm doing better, but I struggle with growing old and accepting the fact that I'm growing old, of the fact that my beard's getting gray. Now, look, I'm not fishing for compliments or whatnot, right? Shout out to the ladies who are like, whoa, man, gray beards are sexy. No, but it's more. Again, in the last episode, I talked about an article that I read about Oprah Winfrey, and she talked about how she's aging and she's reached self-acceptance, and the two ways she did it. Well, the takeaway that I got from the article, one is the strong belief that you are enough. Believing in that idea that she is enough. And the second one, which I think is probably the most important one, was she had role model. She had a role model who was aging, who exemplified, who practiced aging and self-acceptance, and it was Maya Angelou. So she had a role model, and I realized that part of what was making aging and self-acceptance a challenge is the fact that I have no role models in that kind of, like most of the people that I know, you know what, listen to the episode, I go into details, right? And as we're having this conversation, she said, she realized that you're not the only one who goes through that problem. And what's funny is how at a moment where I got back to the idea of serving humanity and realizing that maybe that's who I'm trying to reach out to with this podcast. This is who I'm sending my, this is who I'm sending this SOS message. Other men like me who struggle with aging and self-acceptance. Could be a divorced single dad. It could be, divorced single dad or basically men who struggle with the idea that, yo, fuck it. What left is there in the life except death? Now, I've been saying men because women seem to have this shit figured out. At least better than us. Okay, I'm generalizing, but for the most part, women accept, I don't think it's a coincidence that I was reading an article about Oprah Winfrey and about how she goes through aging and self-acceptance. But men, that shit is not a conversation we have with, it's just that, fuck it. We hide, most men, if I talk about, yo, aging most men in my circle, if I talk about the struggle of aging and self-acceptance, they'll bullshit me with, come on, man, you're making money, what the fuck you care? You're getting bitches, you're getting all this superficial shit. And then here's where the real conversation got deep, right? And where I realized that, where I had something going for me, is that my therapist pointed out that, in addition to saying that you're not the only one, a lot of men struggle with that shit. But she said, another thing you got going for you is you have emotional depth. Now, when she said that, it sounded cool. I'm like, yeah. And I actually don't know what emotional depth was. I didn't tell her that. But, I remember writing it down and then getting home. And before this episode, which is part of the reason why I started late. Actually, no, it's a longer story why I'm recording late. But I find myself finding this article called, If Someone Displays 11 Behaviors, They Lack Emotional Depth. And I'll let you, again, links are in the show notes. And after I went through these 10 items, these 10 behaviors, or 11 behaviors, sorry, of people who lack emotional depth, I realized that, again, this is in a past episode. I was talking about the conversation that I had with my dad. And he goes, Tom, you're being a bit philosophical. And what he really means is it was more a combination of you think a lot, overthink a lot. You're being deep. You're being very, keep it light. Now, I'm not saying this as a diss because he's not the only one who's told me stuff like that. And I remember believing there was something wrong with me because everyone in my circle was like telling me shit like, dude, you think too much. It's not that serious. You're being too deep. What the fuck? What are you, a woman? Yeah, all kinds of shit that made me quiet about my emotional deafness. Is that a word, deafness? What's emotional deaf in French? Ma profondeur émotionnelle? Yeah, anyways, where am I going with this? When she pointed that out, so I guess I'm saying the men, okay, I want to say the people. Women are included, but as long as you acknowledge the fact that we're still figuring this out. Like, we still, like, if you're coming, it's more to share the fact that, yeah, man, I mean, share how you are able to age gracefully. But for men, we're still figuring that shit out. What I'm talking about in this podcast, this particular topic, is not something that I would bring up at a barbershop. And what's funny is, what's funny about emotional depth, it's like, especially when it comes to men, is they'll diss you for it until they need it. Until they're in a situation where like, fuck, damn, I don't get it. My wife is divorcing me, what the fuck? I keep cheating on her, what the fuck? What the fuck's, they're trying to figure out these feelings inside. And then you say shit that helps them. Yeah, I do feel like fucking somebody up and fucking myself up. Like, when they need it, they're grateful for it. But when they don't, I mean, you're a punk ass bitch. Why the fuck are we talking about this shit? Anyway, bottom line, the takeaway, the call to action is, when I first started this episode, I talked about how I'm trying to find my tribe. And part of that tribe is other people, especially men, struggling with aging and self-acceptance. Now, no bullshitters. One prerequisite is emotional death. I don't need no fucking Andrew Tate version of assholes of, nah, man, just fucking just need to work out. You'll be all right. You know what I mean? Nah, man. We talking real shit. Real topics. Not that emotional bullshit. Not the things that Hollywood TV told us we should be doing. Nah, man. We figuring things out for our own self. I think lastly, it reminds me of how, okay, I'm going to bring this up again in final thought, but how I exited the cult of masculinity. A cult of masculinity is what I call society's version of what a man should be. The archaic version of what it means to be a man. Well, for me, that shit is a cult. It's like a religion, but worse than a religion, it's a cult. Because if you try to escape it, then there's something wrong with you. Oh, where I'm going with it. Yeah, I guess I'm saying part of this tribe, the men I'm trying to speak to with this shit, need to be men who are like, who know how the problematic, toxic aspect of masculinity, the definition that of the problematic aspect of masculinity, the part that's like masculinity is the opposite of femininity. It's the not just the yin and the yang. No, it's the masculinity is part of being a real man is keeping these chicks in check. You know what I mean? Like, who recognize that? Yeah, you know what? I was told shit like that. I was told that game was being able to seduce women. When the truth is, though, being able to con women into having sex with me. You know what I mean? Yeah, men who realize, who see how, who are inside the, who just got out of the matrix, who are ready to be unplugged from the matrix. Okay, I know I realize that I'm using some manosphere theory terms here. I guess I'm just going to use the word, and I hate using that word, but woke, conscious dudes, conscious/woke, who get it, who fell for the okie doke, who see the okie doke and are like, you know what? Nah, I'm better than this. When I hit my grave, I'm going to hit that grave being a man that I was better. Being a man that was better than the man that, like, constant elevation. You know what? I need to write this shit down on paper. But all this to say, last episode, aging and self-acceptance and emotional death, those two words put together made me realize more about what I'm trying to do with this podcast. All right. Okay. All right. It's not bad, man. I'm kind of proud of myself that I didn't overload the subject, the agenda. So, which means that we can jump to the final topic. Trust me, man. I've been meaning to talk about this shit since you know what? Okay. Let's just jump to it and I'll elaborate. So here we go. I said, here we go. Here we go. No, that doesn't sound right. All right. So my point is to try to make this clip cool. And I'm going to keep playing until I realize that, you know what? Man, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. All right. What's up with today's title? Okay. Now, usually, for those who aren't familiar with this podcast, usually the title... The title is usually a verse from the lyric of the song, rap song, that I read at the beginning of the episode. All right? Now, I know some of you will be disappointed. It hasn't been like that. This time I told myself that, yo, man, instead of beating around the bush. Okay, hold on a second. I'm trying to multitask here. I don't know if I have. I think my OCD is acting up just because it. All right. Okay. Sorry. Clean it up. Okay. Now, usually the title of my podcast, for the most part, not always, I'm allowed to have an exception. You know why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. All right. So, usually the title of episode would be a part or a verse of a rap song, right? And then I'll say the title of the episode, and then I'll recite the rap song, the lyrics. I'll recite the lyrics of that rap song like it was a poem, and I'll recite the verse where the title comes from, all right? I didn't do it this time. The title and the rap song the verse of the rap song that I recited at the beginning of the podcast, they relate to the same idea that I'm trying to convey in Final Thought. And first is, I remember on Monday after my therapy session realizing that, Jesus Christ, Pete, did you spend a therapy session, not the entire therapy session, did you really spend your therapy session talking to your therapist about the beef between Kendrick and J. Cole? You know what? It's not really, and the answer is yes, I did. And first, before I continue, I want to acknowledge how grateful I am that I was able to do that. I was trying to explain an emotion, a thought, something, a crisis going on in my life. And I had to, the vehicle I had to use was the beef, the latest update between the beef between Kendrick and J. Cole. Now, I'm grateful that I was able to do that. I'm grateful to have found a therapist who I could talk about Look, I'm used to, again, predominantly white society that I live in. Or even with the black people that I'm with, for most, I'm an outcast. I'm not saying I'm rejected, but I tend to find myself feeling like I'm the one who needs to fit into their world. So as a result, a tactic of self-preservation is shutting the fuck up about anything specific. Basically, don't take any space. Shut up about your own world. Shut up about your own interests. Keep it in your head, which, by the way, is what this podcast is for. Is to try to get out of this habit of always being in my head. So anyway, so I was grateful that I was able to just, if she said, what's on your mind? I could say, you know what? That apology by, J. Cole is fucking with me. All right, now, okay, so I got that out the way, right? You know my interest? Okay, now. Why the fuck am I talking about J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar? Who the fuck cares? What I love is, A, it helps that she knew who the two people were. And she was shocked. It's like, what the fuck? Why would someone attack J. Cole? So we were on the same page. Now, she knows, she follows a bit of pop culture, but not as much as I do. Like, I'm all over that shit, right? So, okay. Let me give you a quick history. So after I published the last episode, again, 163, Aging and Self-Acceptance, I'm going online and I noticed the article about, okay, yeah, the whole day was about this Dreamville Festival that I had no idea of. And then we get to J. Cole and he does something that's unheard of in hip hop, and apologizes to a person he's got a rap beef with. He apologizes to someone who initially dissed him, Kendrick Lamar, in a rap song. Because usually in rap, for those who don't know, you know, rap, someone disses you, you diss them back. R.I.P. Biggie and Pac. Right? And yeah. So I should explain that J. Cole gets dissed. Spits out a verse, replies back, whatever, right? replies back, and then later on in the concert goes, you know what? That shit was lame. You know what? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to play the apology. I'm gonna let him explain it. Let him tell it to you. All right? And then we will continue from there. Okay, hold on. Here we... Hold on. Bear with me.
Me, right? So I'm so proud of that project, except for one part.
One part.
It's one part of that shit that make me feel like, man, that's the lamest shit I ever did in my fucking life, right? And I know this is not what a lot of people want to hear. I know I can hear my niggas up there right now like, nah, nah, don't do that. But I got to keep it 100 with y'all, right? I damn near had a relapse, right? Because y'all heard some shit that happened two, three weeks ago, however long it was. Y'all heard that bazooka that was dropped on the motherfucking game, right? So all of this time of me moving on my own accord, for the first time I was tested. Why am I tested? Because I got the world and I got my niggas like, what you gonna do, Cole? My niggas like, bit boy, I must have had 1,000 missed calls. Oh my fucking God. Text flooded. I couldn't even answer my shit. Nigga, it's wartime. Boom, boom, right? Niggas wanna see blood. And I was conflicted because one, I know my heart, you know what I mean? And like, I know how I feel about my peers, these two niggas that I just been blessed to even stand beside in this game, let alone chase their greatness, right? So I felt conflicted because I'm like, bro, I know I don't really feel no way, but the world wanna see blood. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all can feel that, but the world wanna see blood. So I say all of that to say, in my spirit of trying to like get this music out, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I moved in a way that I feel spiritually feel bad on me. Like I try to like jab my nigga back and I try to keep it friendly. But at the end of the day, when I listen to it and when it comes out and I see the talk, that shit don't sit right with my spirit. That shit make me feel, that shit disrupts my fucking peace. So what I wanna say right here tonight is in the midst of me doing that and in that shit, trying to find a little angle and downplay this nigga's fucking catalog and his greatness, I want to say right now tonight, how many people think Kendrick Lamar is one of the greatest motherfuckers to ever touch a fucking microphone? Huh. Dreamville, y'all love Kendrick Lamar, correct? As do I. So I just want to come up here and be like, publicly be like, bro, that was the lamest, like, goofiest shit. And I say all that to say, it made me feel like 10 years ago when I was moving incorrectly. And I pray that God aligned me back up on my purpose and on my path. You know what I mean? I pray that my nigga really didn't feel no way. And if he did, my nigga, I got my chin out. Take your best shot. I'm going to take that shit on the chin, boy. Do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, all good. Like, it's love. And I pray that, you know, I pray that y'all are like, forgive a nigga for like the misstep. And then I can get back to my true path. Because I ain't going to lie to y'all. The past 2 days felt terrible. Like, it let me know how good I've been sleeping for the past 10 years. So all of that to say, man, I want to now perform the song that's a reminder to me of getting back on the right path and getting in tune with God. And the name of the song is called Love Yours. I want to do that for y'all.
Which is part of why I recited a verse from Love Yours. Right. Okay. Sorry, I was laughing while he was talking. Is because I was, I think a lot. Two, I was thinking about, after I published that last episode, my last episode, 163, Aging Self-Acceptance, again, find this clip. What time was it when I posted it? It was April 8th. It doesn't show the actual time I posted this shit, does it? It's just, okay, it doesn't matter, really. 12:15 a.m. Oh, it was fucking late, yes. Think about it, it was my final thought before going to bed. Now, just to give some context, okay, the tweet went, and this is what I couldn't find the words to say about J. Cole. and I realized that how that could be interpreted in any way. I wasn't being specific. On the episode 163, Aging and Self-Acceptance, I talked about how I was shocked that Kendrick came after J. Cole. And I mean, you know, I did a bit of research, whatever. I mean, yeah, shock. First of all, after someone had to explain to me the diss to J. Cole, I was shocked. And I was combining with the fact that he's been hanging out with Drake, and I'm like, because it came from people, from someone of the, you know, candor of Kendrick Lamar, I didn't see it as friendly competition. I saw this shit as, no, I'm upset. You a fuckboy. And because it came from Kendrick, I was like, well, maybe J. Cole is, maybe there's something about J. Cole I don't know. So that's how I ended that last episode, confused about the possibility that maybe since he's hanging out with Drake and now Kendrick don't like him, maybe there's a part about J. Cole I don't know. And then he gave this apology, right? I won't lie. I'm telling you the truth. I was like, is the word flabbergasted? Not flabbergasted. I was like, j'étais ému. Come on, son, anglais. Hold on. I'm going to translate this word. J'étais ému. French word in French. Ému translated to English. Meaning ému in English. God damn it. translated from French. Ému meaning French. Moved. All right, that's what it means. Okay, moved. Affecté, concerné, touché. J'étais touché, esti. I was touched. I was moved. I was like, that's the J. Cole that I fell in love with. That's the J. Cole. Now, that's the J. Cole I fell in love with. That's the J. Cole I became a fan of. That's the J. Cole who wrote songs like Love Yours, Chaining Day, On my way. Now, what's it good? It's Crooked Smile. That's the J. Cole who wrote a song about losing his virginity. About how, yo, he likes this chick, but he's too shy to approach her. Right? That's the J. Cole who made me feel like, yo, I was part of his journey of his success. Right? That's the J. Cole who I wanted to put on my top five list, but one of my older rap heads friend told me, no, yo, stick to your generation. J. Cole's for the children. Because he was a lyricist, all right? Now, I give you all this context. Okay, after the apology, I'm thinking, yo, I went to bed, my last thought, I'm like, man, that J. Cole guy, boom. Then I go to bed. I wake up. This is good. It's funny. Okay, sorry. I got to get back to my notes here. I wake up because I don't want to forget anything here. I wake up and I read. I remember noticing okay, I'll just get to that. I want to be clear. Okay. I like what he did. We listened to a lot of. Okay, yeah. What fucked me up is waking up the next day and realizing that a lot of old heads, no, I won't say I'll call it old heads, a lot of people whose opinions I respect disagree. Now, I wanna give you some context, right? There's, it's not that I'm lazy, maybe, I don't know, maybe this is a culture from being in a church where you're used to, maybe it's a combination, right? Because I grew up Christian, grew up in a church, pastor's kid, and I'm used to, you're going to the pastor to discern Bible interpretation. It's like, what does it mean in here about, you know, the Ten Commandments? You know, basically having someone, maybe I'm so used to that relationship. I grew up in math class or computer class, accepting that there are people out there who are smarter than you. Sounds weird, right? It's not that I'm putting myself down, but these people that I respect, I treat them like people who, if this is like we're like taking a calculus class or we're doing a science experiment and whatever, these are people who I can trust took the formula, plugged in the numbers, and did solve the problem themselves. I can take that formula and what is it? Take it to the bank? Is that the expression? And yes. I don't need to do, like, I trust them to have done Like, basically, these are motherfuckers who read books, who are who are articulate, who speak so well, right? Highly respect. And I have high regards. I have high regards for. Maybe sometimes I have too much, but I mean, yeah. And it's fucked up. These people. Now, okay, I'm not going to throw a nuance because, you know, fuck it. Right now I'm being entertaining. I'm being funny, right? But they were on the side. Nah, man, J. Cole's a bitch. He's a bitch. And if you down with J. Cole, then you's a bitch too. That's how I took it, right? As the expresses. I was shocked to read. Okay, I'm going to get to the point, right? First one. A lot. I guess it was abundant, but reading this from, yeah, on the next day. Oh, shit, he's posted this at 1:57 a.m. And, sorry, he being Rodimus Prime from The Black Guy Who Tips. He goes, I feel like J. Cole was losing, and this is the easiest way to make an L look like you're being a bigger guy. And then he adds, but mostly this response plays right into, here's a good point. This is an interesting point. He goes, but mostly this response. Oh, did I really not forget to hit like? Okay, I'm sorry. But mostly this response plays into Cole's fans spins on things. They'll happily say he bodied or would have bodied Kendrick. I don't believe that. But was too conscious to divide hip hop like that. Something high-minded like that. Okay. And then Michael Harriet wrote, where's the post? Oh, come on, really? Did you really not save Michael Harriet? Posted on, okay. He goes, no one is upset that J. Cole isn't beefing with Kendrick. But there's a difference between beefing and a competitive lyricism that's literally part of hip-hop's foundation. Imagine if basketball player refused to engage in trash talk or dunk on opponents because he felt it was disrespectful. He absolutely has the right to feel that way. But it won't stop his opponent from trash talking him and dunking on him. He's not wrong. They're not wrong. But okay, I think what really fucked me up is because the only person who was saying what I was thinking, which was fucking rare. I remember scrolling through, feeling like, oh, what the fuck? Am I wrong? I was like questioning myself. The only person who was like, man, what J. Cole did is manly. I don't know the quote, I'm paraphrasing. Manly, some shit, and y'all don't get it. Y'all don't know what it's like to be a real man. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and I read Matt Rife. I'm like, fuck. So I'm like, so my first urge was to be like, okay, what does that mean? Now, okay, I guess maybe for some context, I'm going through the struggle of living my life on my own terms. It's a journey that I'm in, right? And it was messing with me. As funny as it sounds, I don't know how I can explain it, but it was messing with me because I'm like, but okay, I guess it was like, I'm used to part of how I keep myself balance, or is it the balance, or I keep myself grounded, is I'm not big on, I don't talk without doing my own research. I preach what I practice. Practice what I preach? I practice what I preach. No. I only talk about shit that I fucking know. And part of what I know is, see what other people are saying. What, you can't make your own opinion? Yeah, yes, I can. But I don't like being a fucking idiot. I don't like being the person. I believe in reading. There we go. I believe in the value of doing research. Sometimes I can't do the whole research, so I trust the scientists. Or I trust people who, I'm like, okay, they read more than I do. So it keeps me grounded. Anyways. So I guess I initially took it as, oh, fuck, what's going on? What the fuck? Do I have beef with these two now? Is Rod wrong and I'm right and I'm wrong and he's right? What the fuck? It's like, I couldn't find a ground to stand. Now, okay, I'm kidding aside, right? Maybe, you know, if I write in and explain the dilemma, I'm sure I'll make more sense. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure if I listen to the podcast, he'll elaborate. But I did have a moment of, I guess I'll call it insecurity. And where I'm going with this is, to the opinion of, when Michael Harriott said he wrote, because it's a common thought. It goes, imagine a basketball player, basically competitive lyricism that's literally part of hip hop's foundation. I get that. There's a lot of people who are reacting to what Cole is doing. Yo, you're violating a principle. Yo, hip hop has always been this way. Someone comes at you, you got to come back to them. You know what this was, a lot was feeling? This a lot of this was feeling like that conversation, that thing that Slim Charles, okay, wow. Part of listening to this podcast, you need to be prerequisite to listen to this podcast. You need to have watched The Wire. It's going to help you a lot. But, you know, I'm going to make a Wire reference, and if you don't get it, then I don't know what to tell you. Whatever. I mean, you know. Anyway, so that conversation Slim Charles has with Avon, when he's the whole crew's getting ready to go to war with Marlo, and Avon is like, "Yo, the reason I thought why we were going to war turns out it's not true." And then Slim Charles is like, dude, it's too late. We got the war chest ready. We got the soldiers out there ready to die. They've all written they've all made their last will and testament. They're all dedicated to the cause. A lot of them have made up their mind that they're not going, they may not go home tonight. They are ready for, dude, you're too late to talk this peace talk. I'm paraphrasing. That's what war is. Now, I won't lie. I didn't really understand what Slim Charles was saying, and I took it as, you know, maybe that's what being a gangster is all about. Maybe this is shit about the gangster life that I don't know. But for me, if I'm like, okay, I'm wrong. No more fighting. Well, it's also the reason why I don't lead an army. Anyway, what I'm saying is, again, I really respect it. I still hang on to, I was about to let go, but I still hold on to that initial feeling of being moved by J. Cole's apology, all right, while holding on to certain doubts. Now, from my opinion, from my perspective, the reason, part of why I admire what he did is I felt like him choosing to back out of a beef with Kendrick was like that scene in Game of Thrones. By the way, another prerequisite I've seen Game of Thrones, I'm going to make a Game of Thrones reference. When he's speaking to Maester Aemon, and Maester gives him the kill the boy speech. Basically, Jon Snow is like, dude, I'm about to make a very unpopular decision, but I feel that it's necessary. And Dr. Aemon goes, Maester Aemon, he doesn't know what that decision is. But he tells him, yo, dude, be a man. Kill the boy. Do what you got to do. Now, I am telling myself, I guess I want to be clear and say that I'm telling myself, okay, start off by, I don't know who J. Cole is personally, fucking celebrities, whatever, right? I'm going to start by saying, I don't know who he is personally. So who, a lot of what I'm saying, these opinions come from what I'm projecting on him. I'm admitting that, right? Especially part of, if I do, yeah. I'm projecting a lot on him. I'm sticking to, I don't have a poster of J. Cole, but if I were to have one, the image, the reflection that for me, what he stands, what he symbolizes to me is, yo, I'm a man just like you. I'm going through it. Except, you know, I got bitches. I got rap songs. You know, I'm signed to Rockefeller here. Fuck you, you know what I mean? But I'm going through this journey of called life just like you. And I think that's what attracted me to J. Cole, is because he convinced me that, yo, we're in this ride together. I am not perfect. I'm going to fuck up. I'm going to get shit wrong. I'm going to do things. I'm going to make decisions. Sometimes they might not be popular. I'm going to live this life. And that's what I want for myself. In a way, I was kind of like, when he apologized, I took it as, yo, when, God forbid, you have to make a tough decision like he had to do. Because I won't lie, man. If I was in his shoes, I would be like, yo, fuck that, man. I don't want to be called a bitch by all these rappers. Let me make this weak-ass diss track against Kendrick. By the way, I agree. That diss response was fucking lame. And Sumnum Cho. I really hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Sumnum Cho, who when he was listening to this diss track, he talks about this one verse that J. Cole did that was transphobic. And I'm listening to it. I'm like, okay, so you went, you took a detour. You did a Dave Chappelle bullshit thing. Basically, you were trying to call Kendrick a pussy. Instead of just doing that, you had to throw in some transphobia to make it look like it was intelligent. Whatever. Maybe J. Cole doesn't have it in him. And I'm not trying to diss him, but maybe he's just... I guess I could relate to, and again, this is like me when I talk about leaving the cult of masculinity. I am done doing shit just to get approval of people that I don't even fucking like. Approval of people who don't even know of my existence. Just have people who all right, see, that's how men do. No, I'm living this shit by my own fucking standards. And where they people booming for it, then fuck it, 10 toes down. Then so be it. So that's how I looked at it as him. I don't want to use the word standing on business, but I'm a man. This is what I feel is right. Fuck it. People aren't going to like it. I'm going to do it. I'm killing the boy. I'm being a man. So with that said, I think I'm going to give credit to, this is funny, I'm going to give credit on the more list of people whose opinion I respect. And when, part of what makes me, why I respect their opinion is because of their ability to articulate it. And this one is, wasn't expected. It's a content creator. He's Canadian. I've been following, and his name is Johnny. Johnny. J-A-H-N-Y. And it's not, okay, what he said made me conclude that, okay, two things could be true. You can hold on to being moved to J. Cole's apology while holding on to the idea that maybe these people might know something you don't. These people... I'm talking about Rod, Michael Harriet, and Johnny, and like, you know, at that level. I think, like, Johnny pointed out that Cole's been in other rap beefs before. And he fucking, well, you know, I wouldn't call what he did with Kanye a diss track. False Prophet. I didn't look at it as a diss track, but more like, dude, I'm in tears. I think of False Prophet the same way I think of some of my jokes. Yeah, it's funny. It's meant to be funny, but at the core of that joke, what you're not seeing is it's me crying. It's me tears. It's me saying how racism fucked up my life. But I managed to make it into a joke. I managed to instead of crying, I'm laughing at it. So False Prophet felt less like a diss track and more like, yo, I'm expressing a disappointment. And whether Kanye wants to take, well, I mean, fuck me, fuck it. But that's a, so I didn't really take it as a diss, but okay. But I'm sticking to the point. I'm accepting the possibility that maybe there's things about, there's a history, there's a context that I am still not aware of about J. Cole. Like, for example, someone pointed out that when he apologized to Kendrick, I don't think he apologized for that transphobic line. It would have been, because I assumed that part of the part of him saying it was lame, what I was saying is like, dude, what the fuck am I saying? I'm making transphobic jokes, trying to make transphobia into a diss to attack some man's masculinity. And so I am not sure. So unless he, I guess I need to, but then, you know, what's done is done. What's done, you know, maybe, I don't know, again, you know, what's done is done. I'm going to go back to, I don't know who he is personally. If it is the case that this shit is whole, this whole retreat is just, it's a tactical maneuver. It's like, yo, dude, I can't go to war with Kendrick. He'll murder me. Or fuck that. He probably knows about the three kids I'm not taking care of. Fuck that. Last thing I need is this nigga putting that shit in a rap song. I don't know. What I am saying is I am sticking to the image. I am holding on to the idea of whether he is that person or he's not. I'm holding on to the idea of kill the boy. Making decisions, not going with the grain. Fuck the world, man. Man, you know what? Fuck hip hop. Fuck. You know what? I gave up on hip hop. I was going to say after Biggie. By the way, I want to go on records and saying that, yo, fuck hip hop, because first people are calling me an asshole for saying that, yo, no, I want this beef to end up in bloodshed. Fuck that. I want people to die. I want a rap song, these two people to come out with records. Fuck what Ether and Takeover. No, I want the hardest disc to come out and then the whole crew to fight over that shit. Fans and crew and blam, blam, blam. I want police. I want to wear a I want this generation to know what it's like to lose your favorite rapper to gun violence. Fuck that. I express that shit. All of a sudden, I'm an asshole. Now that I'm like, oh, you know what? I like J. Cole's apology. Nah, I'm a pussy. Fuck hip hop, man. Fuck y'all. But no, seriously. I think I lost faith in hip hop the day the first white boy felt comfortable dropping the N-word at a rap concert. That's when I was like, yeah, fuck hip hop. I remember when hip hop was black people culture. Hip hop was only the thoroughbred. There was two kinds of white people who showed up at the rap concerts. White people who were down with black people, and white people were like, oh, fuck. I'm scared. Fuck. I'm staying by the exit. Fuck that. These fucking monkeys might act up. Ah, shit. They're singing another song about being pro-black. Fuck. About black power. Fuck. I hate Public Enemy. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God. Yeah. My favorite episodes. Holy shit, man. I've been talking a lot about this shit. Actually, this shit's been on my mind. I've been, and I remember, it's one, I'm annoyed by people's feedback on it. And then I'm annoyed by it, but I continue looking for it. And then fuck it. I just said, fuck it. Let me just speak my mind about this beat. So yeah. So fuck hip hop. Fuck hip hop. I don't care about tradition. Kill the boy, man. I don't care about tradition. If the dude doesn't want to beef, then fuck it. Let's accept this decision. And you know what's interesting is since this moment, I've been playing nothing but J. Cole songs. And remembering even songs that I didn't like are like, okay, I'm starting to understand it. Now, what's going to suck is if I listen to an episode of Black Guy Who Tips, because again, Rodimus, he reads books and shit. He reads a lot of shit. And then he explains the part about, here's the part J. Cole didn't tell you. He is transphobic. He is. That shit was just a tactical move. He knew he was, you know, if he, again, because he's an articulate dude, if he explains that, yeah, why his apology was bullshit and persuades me, then I'll be like, oh, man, there is no Santa Claus. I kind of don't want him to do that. But I'm just saying, I'm opening my mind to the possibility that there's something about J. Cole I still don't know. But until that happens, yeah, no, I'm a fan. It reinforces, I'm a bigger fan. I'm holding, and I still hold on to the idea of, I still love how there's a certain humbleness. Again, this image that I'm going for, there's a certain humbleness that I like about this rapper. It's the same humbleness that exists in spoken word artists. I love that shit. Drake, yeah, I'm not a fan of his, Bracelet says quit. I mean, I like the line, don't get me wrong. Bracelet says you should quit. Car says fuck your life. You know, like, yo, I go to Ibiza. I go to expensive places. I eat shit that you can't pronounce. You know what I mean? Like, okay, that's cool, Drake. But I'm 49 with a mortgage. I'm 49 struggling with self-acceptance. Your music is not helping me at all. I love me. You know what? I love the everyday people kind of hip hop. That's what I'm looking for. I'm everyday people. I can relate to that. Yeah, I'm struggling with paying my taxes. I'm in a different bracket. I struggle with insecurity. By the way, another reason why Kendrick is like a favorite of mine. Because he raps about the shit that y'all want to hear, but he raps about spirituality, relationships, you know, just shit that I can connect with on a human level. So, oh my God. Yeah, so I said my take, man. Fuck hip-hop. I think the bottom line is fuck hip-hop. Let the man do what he wants to do. But if it turns out that this shit was this better not end like, okay, I tell you what, I'm going to make a diss track. Okay, because of all the pressure, I'm going to make that diss. I'm going to be very disappointed. I mean, like disappointed like when found out that there is no Santa Claus and Jesus wasn't white. Why was I disappointed that Jesus wasn't white? That's a longer story. I can explain later. Sorry, it's going to go on the other list of disappointments that have existed. But for now, I'm going to try to be positive about it. Yeah, if it turns out he's full of shit, then yeah, he won't be the first first artist who I realized that just because I like their work doesn't mean I would like them. All right, okay. I think I've said much. I'm reading my note, making sure that I have everything. Respect the green, maybe. Somebody don't, yeah. Yeah, he better not be transphobic. All right, okay. Bon. Mesdames et messieurs, et tout le monde dans le milieu. Oh, shit, that rhymes. Mesdames et messieurs, et tout le monde dans le milieu. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. If you want to holler at me via social media, you can do so on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads using the handle at Shut Up Podcast. On TikTok, at shutuppodcast.com. But seriously. But if you're really serious about getting in touch with me, if you really want to make sure that I get your message, come down to my part of the internet, and it's shutuppodcast.com. What was that? shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Now, on the shutuppodcast.com site, there's a contact me page or a contact page. Or just use the email if you're old school like that. On the same shutuppodcast.com site, there is on the main page, there is a link to there's a RSS feed. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, there's an RSS feed there too. Yeah, I don't want to say if that's the preferred method, but that's like the nerdy method. It's one of the ways you can subscribe to the podcast. Actually, that's how I do. When I subscribe to a podcast, I don't go to Apple and whatever, but I just, whatever. Okay. Also on the same website, you can find the show notes, links to things that I've been discussing on the podcast. And last but not least, there's another extra section in the show notes called Other Links. And Other Links is links I consulted. I probably went through. There's a lot of, okay, for this particular episode, there's a lot of J. Cole related posts in there. And some of them funny and some of them are serious. But whatever. Right? Check out the Other Links section that's on the show notes section on the website. Okay. Again, concludes. Thank you for listening. Okay, I mean that. I know I don't want to rush the word. I want you to feel that sincerity when I say thank you for listening. And please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.